Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best. Shimano. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. And so stoked, the second hour here. We're on YouTube, Facebook Live, and we said goodbye to 97.3, the fan. But we are on the Let's Talk Hookup app and stoked to have Eric Cord. What's your title, Eric? Is a senior...
Assistant chief.
Assistant chief.
Yes, I work for the chief of patrol. And then under our program, there's captains, patrol captains, that oversee a couple of patrol boats and squads. And then we have lieutenant supervisors that run the patrol boats. And then we have game wardens or fish and wildlife officers that work on the boats.
And you oversee all of that.
I do. I'm lucky
enough
to work with those fellas and provide some guidance and provide some opportunities for them to get into some exciting work. So it's a super fun job.
And within the division, we could call you a senior, right?
Yeah, I'm getting up there. You start to feel old when the cadets that are coming out of the academy were born after I got hired from the department.
Isn't that incredible? That is incredible. We're thankful to have individuals like yourself within the division, and having Ken Frankie from SAC, president of SAC, in studio, and Craig Schumann in Santa Barbara, and his official title, senior biologist. Am I right, Craig?
Yeah, I'm a marine region manager, so I oversee all of our marine region activities. Yeah. We've got about 150 scientists full-time and about another 100 part-time folks. Those are the surf samplers we were talking about earlier.
Incredible, man. It's all of you that keep our resources in line and keep it accessible to license-holding sport fishing or even commercial individual too.
Yeah, and I wanted to say something for that last caller that was asking about ways to get information, and maybe they weren't very savvy online. Yeah. You can call us or email us. They have actually a dedicated lobster email line. It's lobster@wildlife.ca.gov. So if you have a specific question about lobster and you want to email that individual, they'll try to get back to you with questions. And if the person that's handling that email, if it's a really technical law enforcement question, they don't know it, they'll come contact us and say, hey, we got this question. So we're always going to try to get an answer for folks. And that's probably the best way if maybe you don't know how to navigate the website.
I have a question along the lines. Lobster season's just coming up and everything's good there. Do you have something, Wayne? Do you have something
quick for everybody? Hey, live show, first time running this thing.
Yeah.
If you notice that little downtime, it's a live show. For whatever reason, we went off the fan and the commercials didn't run. We're working on that right now. You know, this is part of live show stuff. And we got Mark on from...
Oh, okay. Mark Wish, our private boater buddy. Good morning, Mark. And it's brought to us by the Fish Pros at Fishman's Processing in San Diego. It's where you get your premier processing experience. You can check out the easier online system to book your processing for your long-range trips. And with more team members, Fishman's Processing stays far ahead of the rest. More same day capacity and the
back to you with questions. And if the person that's handling that email, if it's a really technical law enforcement question, they don't know it, they'll come contact us and say, hey, we got this question. So we're always going to try to get an answer for folks. And that's probably the best way if maybe you don't know how to navigate the website.
I have a question along the lines. Lobster season's just coming up and everything's good there. Do you have something, Wayne? Do you have
real quick for everybody? Hey, live show, first time running this thing.
Yeah.
If you notice that little downtime, it's a live show. For whatever reason, we went off the fan and the commercials didn't run. We're working on that right now. You know, this is part of live show stuff. And we got Mark on from...
Oh, okay. Mark Wish, our private boater buddy. Good morning, Mark. And it's brought to us by the Fish Pros at Fishman's Processing in San Diego. It's where you get your premier processing experience. You can check out the easier online system to book your processing for your long-range trips. And With more team members, Fishman's Processing stays far ahead of the rest. More same day capacity and the finest customer service. Stop by their location in Old Town. It's right there on Taylor Street, or you can check them out at fishmansprocessing.com. And don't forget to make your reservation today. And good morning, Mr. Mark Wish. How you doing?
We're good, Corey. Thanks for the introduction there. Wayne, Ken, Eric, Craig, full house. So much good information this morning. You guys are doing a fantastic job there. Guys, this is the last report of our 2025 summer season. And it's been a bit different, I got to say. A little more weather than normal, a little less fish than normal, especially in their inner areas here. And, but we'll see what the fall season brings. You know, officially starts on Monday, and traditionally some of the best bites of the year are still ahead of us. So don't be putting those fishing poles away just yet. We got lots of good stuff coming up. So starting along the coast here, calico bass fishing near and dear to my heart, probably yours too, Corey.
Yes, sir.
That calico bass fishing's been pretty good out here. Local water's still warm and clean, and they're biting. You know, for years, I love taking the boat out in the afternoons and when the wind's not blowing too much, setting up on a horseshoe, and those bass love it when the sun comes out and a little breeze comes up and just fly line and baits or fishing Corey's plastics. That's just a great way to catch some of that good calico bass, and it's been pretty darn good. Not much from up north or outside here, you know. Again, that weather's been an issue. There is some yellows and sea bass on the squid at Santa Barbara Island, but the weather's been an issue there. But we got a couple decent days, and then we're going to get another round of this tropical stuff, so we'll see what happens with that. Over at Catalina, still chugging along with a surprising amount of squid for this time of year, still backside east mostly. And, you know, you guys go over there, I would catch some bait and then relocate to some of the deeper structure spots like outside Ben Weston, Screaming Monkey, Pedestal Rock, West End High Spot, like that. Good time of year right now to fish those big yellows, fish heavy tackle guys. There's real tackle busters around. Or at San Clemente Island, some bait still in the cove there, kind of closer to China, and a little bit of yellow, and a few sea bass still on it. It's been biting for a long time there. But make sure you check the website there. There's been some drama with closures, so make sure you check the website before going to Clemente. Offshore, had some late-breaking news here yesterday. This is good stuff. The tuna fishing closer to home is just basically been non-existent this year, a little dab here and there, but nothing at all consistent. But yesterday late, a little mix of yellowfin and bluefin showed up at the lower end of the nine, outside the nine there. And hopefully that stuff sticks around and gets a little bit of that inshore tuna bite going. You know, it's been good offshore. The main areas, you know, for weeks now has been up around the 499 to the 711 down to the west end of Clemente, that area up there. There's plenty of fish up there right now, mostly smaller fish. A lot of that big stuff seems like it's gone elsewhere, but no shortage of fish. You know, they're biting the flyline sardines, and of course they're biting the spreader bars and the Mad Max and all the other trolling stuff. But that area has really been holding up. And then I want to offer some good luck and good thoughts to all the guys in the War Heroes on Water tournament coming up this weekend. It's a absolutely amazing organization they've put together. Best of luck to all you guys fishing in that. And beyond that, go fishing, guys. It's still a lot of stuff going on.
Absolutely. Great report, Mark.
I know. It's all that good stuff. And, you know, all that good information, Mark, and everything that that Danny provides and fishdope.com. And if you ever want to join and be a member and get all that good stuff, hook up now. And that's all lowercase, no space. And it'll save you $30 if you want to join up for the entire year and get all that good info. And Mark, I don't know, definitely some of the best bait tanks in the world, something near and dear to my heart. Even though I'm an artificial fishing kind of guy, live bait is a key ingredient in our fisheries. And you definitely have the best bait tanks on the West Coast, if not the world, for sure. And how do we find you, Mark?
Thanks for that, Corey. Hey, before we get into that, though, I got a question for your panel.
Oh, boy.
What's going on with the cow cod situation? They seem to be no shortage of them now. They've recovered well. And what's the brain trust thinking about what we're going to do about having a cow cod for dinner once in a while?
That's a great question for you, Craig. That, you know, that's on the top of my mind. We've been deemed rebuilt for the last 3 years, and we're trying to figure out how to open up a bag limit. What do you say, Craig?
So I couldn't hear the caller.
Oh,
so
I'm sorry.
Well,
so Mark is asking what's the situation on cowcod, and we're out fishing and we can't get away from them. But he's asking what's the status and what do you think we're going to be able to do to try to open something up to be able to fish the cowcod going forward.
So we want to take a cautious approach. You know, they've been rebuilt, which is a great thing. We're starting to see them come up again.
Uh-oh.
Encouraging folks, make sure you descend them. Use big weights. We know it's heavy. What we don't want to do is start retaining them and then instantly blow through our catch limits and find ourselves back in a situation where we've got to close down other areas. So we're taking a long-term approach on this. And we're going to slowly ease into it. I'm not sure exactly what it's going to look like. We do know folks want to keep them. We want folks to be able to keep them when the time is right. But we don't want to do it in a way that jeopardizes all that opportunity we just created in some of those deeper waters.
No, that's so nicely said, Craig. And so that our listeners understand, when we have Craig on our secret line and we've got Mark Wish on our secret line, neither one can hear each other. And it's just the way the system is, Mark. Sorry. But Craig had an awesome answer and explanation for you, Mark. And you'll have to listen back on the app or that such to get it back when we have it live on the app.
Yeah, it the nuances of a live show and the multiple streams. And
it's entertaining.
It's entertaining on this end, let me tell you.
No, it's definitely good stuff, Mark, and appreciate. How do we find you, Mark? Are you still there?
No,
he's not there. Okay, well, I know he's next to the Chevron right there. Bolsa Chica and Edinger.
Yeah, one thing that Craig said that's important for everybody to understand, they're incrementally and very carefully opening things as they occur. We want to be very careful. We don't go backwards. So this very judicious, well-educated, good decision-making process is going to be benefiting us all in the end. And so we need to go along with the program, cooperate with the samplers when they come aboard and or meet you at a boat ramp. But, you know, this incremental cowcod as an example, we don't want to mistakenly go, okay, good to go. And then 2 months later, sorry, you caught too many. Now everything's shut down. We got to be smart about what we're doing. So the department is we're communicating constantly with them about those exact topics.
This is exactly why it's important to have, like groups like CCA Cal and SAC working with the department and all of the marine science people, the analysts, all working together to find the right solution so we don't get into the situation that shut us down for 20 years after all of that rebuilding, because they are very slow growing. We know they're out there, but we need to figure out the best way to open that spigot slowly.
Incremental.
Correct.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And like you said earlier, Ken, I mean, it could all just be shut down and make it easy, right? Make it easy on the state, make it easy on the enforcement, but it's not. I mean, we can still fish it, and we have to jump through a couple hoops and fish shallower at certain times and only deeper at others. And
yeah, that's one thing that for the listeners out there that I wanted to bring up and ask Eric a question. Look, when the wardens board us and when the department does the work that they do, they're working for us. They're trying to help us. And especially out there on the water when the wardens are approaching a boat, they don't know you. So always set a positive tone, welcome them. But, Eric, what should anglers expect when the wardens approach by boat out there on the water?
Sure. I mean, we're generally out there to inspect anyone fishing, and that's going to be commercial fishermen, recreational anglers. Anyone that's on the water that's you know, actively participating, we're going to take a look at. And typically, you know, we try to stay within, you know, normal etiquette at sea. We ask for permission to board. And most folks are generally pretty welcoming, and we're there to look at catch and licenses, make sure you're not in the area where you're not supposed to be. And we take a look at all of your fish on board. Now, we do have a little bit more search authority than your typical, police officer or sheriff's deputy. We have the authority to search anywhere that fish or parts thereof can be can be taken and or can be stored. And we typically ask for permission, say, hey, can you open up that cooler for us? And as long as there's evidence there that you've been fishing, you have your gear there, you have, there's bait,
scales,
there's
scales,
bait, scales,
on the boat.
Yeah, that gives us search authority to look a little further. And there's and naturally there's people out there who believe in, the Fourth Amendment rights and unreasonable search and seizures, but they will say, hey, no, can you, do you have the authority to look in there? And we'll explain our authority. And we can look into that cooler if per se someone doesn't want to give us permission. So, but usually the folks that don't give us permission that aren't open and welcoming are usually people that are hiding stuff.
That's
and
that 1%.
Yes,
I don't know if I'm saying the right percentage,
yeah.
But from a layman's term, it's that.
It's a small percentage.
Yeah.
And most of the people that we're issuing citations to are generally people that just didn't know the rules or regs prior to going before. And they didn't know that was a marine protected area, or they didn't know that fish had undersize. And then there's a very small percentage that intentionally, break the law. And you can tell because they stop fishing when we approach, or they try to pull up anchor and go away, and or they're hiding stuff and they're being, evasive on our questions. And those are the people that we're really trying to find out what they have and why are they being secretive about what they're doing.
That's pretty simply said.
Absolutely. Hey, so Pete's on vacation, heading up to Montana.
Yeah.
I saw the pictures of him stopping by him, Lolly stopping by Yellowstone and seeing the geyser and all that. But, hey, he texted in and he wanted us to try to promote this. There's Mason with LLC Fishing Club president. They're doing a premiere of The Ghosts on the Pacific at the Encinitas Farm Lab. Dive into the story of the elusive white sea bass through breathtaking underwater cinematography. The film explores the challenges and rewards of pursuing these ghosts in the deep and the conservation efforts into future generations. And there's an opportunity to go see that. It's coming up here. Let's see. When is it?
That sounds like a fun one for sure.
Yeah. It's where's the date? Hang on.
I mean, that the whole ghost being the white sea bass thing, right? I mean, that's sounds like a lot of fun.
So they're just going to go to their website. It's the LLC Fishing Club. Go there, and you can buy the tickets. They're $25 a person to go, and then watch it. You can go sign up online. It's llcfoundation.org, and it's under the event tab. So go see it. It's a great movie. I've actually seen it once already. And then, hey, just a reminder, Rollo has their Rod a Week going on right now, their giveaway. They've got the Rod a Week tickets being sold. You can contact Tim at 951-264-7382. There's, it'll be going on from November 6th all the way through January 22nd. There's Seeker, CalStar, GraphTech, Batson, Fishing Syndicate, Taipan. There's all these great rods that'll be given away, on top of which, for $25, you get an entry. But if you buy four right now, they're giving one extra ticket for free. So you get five tickets for the $100, plus you're going to get in the drawing, special drawing, for one of Carl Newell's personal rods, along with a Newell 338 attached to it. So it's a piece of sport fishing history, all for your $100. One, and if you do multiples, right, you go 200, 300, you get multiple tickets going into the Newell drawing. On top of every 100, you get five tickets into the drawing for these awesome rods. And all the money is going for Rollo to take kids fishing. So try to get on it. Again, call 951-264-7382 or leave a message at win@rollokids.org. And just leave your name and your phone number, and Tim will call you back and get all your info and sign you up.
That's no better cause, right?
So we have a text?
I do. I actually have I want to read it more for personal. I'm being kind of selfish here, right? And it comes from John Amir Mesa. And good morning, gentlemen. Striped bass, he says. What are the regs, size, and bag limits on local stripers? Because it's something we've had, for decades, but
sure.
The last 10 years, it's really been prevalent in our surf fishing.
Yeah, I remember I was probably a game warden on maybe 5 years, and I saw a guy come off the Mission jetty.
Yeah.
Mission Beach jetty, and he had this big striped bass. Wow. And I didn't know what it was. I hadn't
right.
even seen it before, but
right.
but we are seeing them more and more. It's the season on them. It's open year round. The limit is two. North of Point Conception, there's a size limit, 18 inches total length. South of Point Conception, there's no minimum size. There are some gear restrictions. You can't use a sinker weighing over 4 pounds, and you can't use any power-driven gurdy or winch, but they can be taken by angling, by spearfishing, and by bow and arrow.
Wow, interesting. Yeah. So that's a little bit different north of Point Conception versus what we find down south, right?
Sure, sure.
It's kind of cool. Right. What direction you want to go with it, Wayne?
Let's take another a text here.
Another text? I have one. You ready?
Yeah.
It comes from Mike and Santee, and Mike has a question. What if I'm going out, I'm on the bay during the day, and you find a solo buoy or float or, you know, slash hoop net? Someone probably lost it or forgot about it. Can I grab that delinquent trap and take it home? Or delinquent hoop net, right? Trap would be commercial. I do have a valid lobster card, asking for a friend. Thanks.
No, if there are abandoned hoop nets or lobster traps, you're probably going to want to report that either to Harbor Patrol or call our CalTIP line. Harbor Patrol is actually probably the quickest person to go out there and grab it. It's a hazard to navigation if it's indeed abandoned. And we talked about that last week, or you guys talked about it last week with the Promar folks on about, you know, what is the appropriate, what is the legal requirement for checking your hoop nets. And it's not so much a distance regulation, it's a time. You have to check your hoop nets every 2 hours. And that kind of by in itself will keep you around your hoop nets. So hopefully the person's nearby. But there's a law that says you cannot abandon your hoop net in the water. And if it hasn't been checked for more than two hours, it's considered abandoned. Then, the appropriate department can seize it if it's a hazard navigation, or Fish and Wildlife can seize it if it's we think it's abandoned gear.
Yeah, interesting, because they do get left behind or carried away with kelp or whatever
it is. They do, yep.
So we are just coming off a very phenomenal sand bass bite season, right, Mr. Frankie?
Yes, we did.
So we had a really eventful year this year when it comes to regulation of sand bass, and cooler heads prevailed after all the meetings, discussion, and everything. So let's talk about that with Craig and Ken on what actually happened and where are we at and what's going forward with sand bass. Craig, you want to start that?
Sure. Thanks, Wayne. So department's been tracking sand bass for a number of years, and the data that we had indicated that we weren't seeing recruitment, that sand bass populations were starting to decline, and that we needed to apply some additional management measures. So, gosh, this was about a year ago, year and a half ago, we brought a package to the Fish and Game Commission with some potentially pretty significant restrictions, including possibly closure of the summer season to protect spawning sand bass. As we started going through those discussions, the fishing community came to us. Ken, Wayne, others, y'all came to us and said, hey, this isn't consistent with what we're seeing on the water. We don't think this is 100% right. We think you're missing some of the story. So as we started going through the Fish and Game Commission process, we heard you, and we thought, you know what, let's pull back on this a bit. Let's hit the pause button. Let's recommend the commission implement a modest management measure, so dropping that bag limit from 5 to 4, and then let's roll up our sleeves and work together to get better data over the next couple of years and really figure out what's happening with that population. And so kudos to you all for coming in constructively. For helping us roll up our sleeves, for getting the sampling in place this summer. And I'm really excited to see what data we start getting and what we do with it.
Yeah, one thing I'll add to Craig, what Craig said. First of all, just perspective-wise, good leadership. Fish and Game Commission, Craig. Craig set the tone up at the commission meeting, but there was just so much collaboration. There was cooperation. And they created a working group where we could put together all the information on the table for everybody to digest. And to Craig's point, yeah, we all recognized we needed some additional data resources before a good decision could be made. And the quillback situation, we're thankful that at some point it was okay, restore it. But in this case, the department paused and came up with a very good decision, and a recommendation to the commission. And we supported, literally when we went to the podium, it was, we support what the department is recommending here. I always want to be clear to people, it was the department's recommendation. It wasn't ours. It was, we're supportive of what the department wants to do here. And now, next Friday, we're going to have another working group meeting. And it's just a matter of, there is a total willingness. Bring all your information. Let's put it on the table and just let's make good decisions going forward. In this case, as most of the anglers know, a lot of folks, you know, a massive amount of anchovy showed up and down the coast. We had squid show, then the barracuda, sand bass showed. We had some incredible good fishing on very large sand bass, but we also saw in the near shore areas a lot of small sand bass. So, I think kudos to everybody involved, and you're going to encounter on the sport boats measuring boards that we worked with the department to deploy, where we're going to actually continue. We started it this year, but we're measuring all the fish, the shorts and the legal ones, to give more resource information to the department biologists so they can make good decisions. So, I think overall this is going to be a good lesson and one that we can build from.
I agree. It's one of those things where all of us put our heads together. We got frustrated in the middle of the process, but then we all buckled down and said, how do we find a solution? How do we fix it? Where do we get the data? So the sport boats are doing the measuring. CCA Cal, part of their star tournament, added a shorts division as well as their normal bass division. And the short division on that measuring was the largest supported area of
the entire thing, huh?
Of the entire section, yeah. And so kudos to our guys, because that is so necessary for the department to understand, the analysts to understand the recruitment of the fish, because they were claiming that we didn't have a large amount of recruitment going on and that we were going to have this, like, lull in the species. Well, we're trying to show that that's not true. We're finding all age classes out there, very in high numbers, and they're not all in the same area. So the types of studies that we're doing, the support from the fishing community, so important on everything to get this right. So the working group will have the data to analyze to get that forecast correct.
Because there's so much that happens, right? I mean, there were so many 3 to 5 pound sand bass this year. That just showed up, right? Where do they come from, and where do they go?
There's a lot of work that needs to be done still. This was the first year that I've personally made calls up and down the coast almost daily. What are you doing? What are you catching? Let's, you know, what are the size? What kind of bait did you have? We learned a lot. So, I think we're going to just keep working with the department and hopefully get to the point where we make these incremental changes and everybody benefits, and the resource most importantly benefits, because we need that resource to continue. So we don't want a disappearance.
Right.
So we've learned a lot, and we'll continue to do so in the future. And yeah, I think this is a good model to use on other species as well.
Absolutely. I believe that.
And what's important.
Go ahead.
Well, I say what's important is we were able to do this because of the trust and relationships that we've all built up over the past 5 to 10 years.
Absolutely.
You know, the department and the angling community hasn't always had a good relationship. I know that. But I think with your all leadership, with the approach we're taking on our end, we've been able to build that trust over time, which enabled us to have faith in each other, to take the risk to do something like this. And I think this is just the first step of many really good things to come.
Absolutely. So a question that came up a couple shows ago, I think, somebody either called or texted in. They were asking about being able to use, because of the bait situation a couple weeks ago or a month ago, where we were kind of struggling down here in San Diego with the bait at the receiver. They were asking, can we use throw nets? And the answer is, down in Southern California, we're not allowed to. What is the opportunity to try to open up the use of throw nets? Craig, you and I have been through this a couple of times in the process. You want to talk about it?
I'll have to dig back into my memory banks for this one. But, yeah, so throw nets are not allowed in Southern California. Couple of concerns. One is lobster is one of the issues that we've encountered. Something we can look at over time, but right now I'll say we are strapped for resources. We took a huge budget cut and staffing cut, so trying to do anything new is going to be a challenge for us in the near term. Doesn't mean we can't look at it in the longer term.
Yeah, it's nicely said. Yeah, it's something you can do north of Point Conception, but just not south, right? Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, one thing that Craig just mentioned about budget cuts, et cetera, everybody knows they're lacking on resource, but we have this big desire to get more data. So more and more, you're going to see out on sport boats, et cetera, you know, measuring boards or action items where we're going to be asking volunteers to come in and measure people's fish, et cetera. There's a lot of that type of work that's going to be done over the next several years. But understand, behind the scenes, we're going to work closely with the department. We're filling a necessary gap because they're willing to accept data. And so these boards we've put on the boats, SAC is going to be doing a tagging contract with a peer in the near future. We're looking for volunteers to participate in that. So this whole concept of working together is legit. We need everybody's help, and we need a positive mental attitude as we navigate through this stuff.
I mean, Ken, I step away from the mic as an angler, and I'm amongst heavy hitters here, right? Wayne, Ken Frankie, Eric Hord, and Crane Schubin, right? I'm just a simple angler enjoying the resource. But I can say, and like Craig said, in the last 5 to 10 years, the relation has built strongly. And I think personally, as stepping away from the mic and being an angler, I think it's because of Wayne Cotto, PCA. I think it's because of Ken Frankie and the resources of an Eric Hord and the department working with Craig Schubin and the state to make it all happen. Seriously.
We try so hard to stop the fighting because nobody wins in a fight.
Yeah.
Our whole goal has been find a solution to a problem, no matter what it is. Find the common ground, because all we're trying to do, I believe we're all trying to get to the same result: responsible and sustainable outdoor recreation. And all these fights just cause hassle. It doesn't get you anywhere. So how do we fix it? Better data, better science, more staffing, obviously, when we can. So we're the lobbyists. We're the ones that go up to Sacramento or to the feds and lobby. That's our job, to help them to help us. And I honestly believe that, and that's what we've all been working for. How do we work with the science team to get the data they need? We didn't know what the data they were missing. We didn't understand it. We sat down and we've had the meetings with them, constantly have the meetings with them. Okay, now what are you using as a tool for forecasting? What is the data? Where are the assumptions in those tools? And we are slowly picking away at trying to get better data for better analysis, to get better forecasts, so that we can all trust it and then trust the output to say, this is what we see on the water. It matches what your model says. Now we can all move forward and do the right thing when at the right time. What I've always said was, we see things before the model shows it, because the model is historical data. And so what happens is, by the time the model gets the data in it, spits something out and does it, we're already past that curve. We're looking historical, not forward. We need a better method to go forward faster, like we do in other industries. But it's not that simple, because we're stuck with fisheries management plans, processes, and procedures.
And natural cycles.
There's no pause buttons. We've said this a long time. There's no pause button. We're trying to work through those processes. It's not as simple as it sounds, because we've put ourselves in the hole of management plans, cycles, times, data, and it's a public process. It just takes time to go through public processes. We've put ourselves in that position.
Yeah. Well, so, I think we're, being the angler again, stepping away from the mic, I think we're in a very good position to not only enjoy the resource, but be in a position to where we have Ken Frankie and, I mean, retired CCA, right? Wayne Cotto but having the enforcement and having everything come together, and Craig Schubin and the whole state just working together and making it accessible, you know?
Yeah. One thing that I will add, just for all the listeners out there, when you are in a position to speak with the department or the commissioner, whoever, professional and constructive, those two words will benefit all of us. Anyone that does something other than that, it detracts from whatever we're trying to do.
I've said something on here that is probably, I don't know, probably not the nicest thing in the world, and I'll say it again. Just don't be stupid. Simple. Don't be stupid, right?
Or rude. Don't be rude.
Right.
we're all professionals. We're all trying to get to the same spot. Treat everybody with respect, kindness, and just provide the data that we needed. It just makes it easier for everybody. We're not doing it to harm you. We're trying to do it to help us. So,
yeah, exactly. Hey,
yeah, and not to say we can't disagree.
Correct.
The disagreement is totally healthy.
We've had plenty of disagreement
in a way that we're constructive,
right, Craig? And we're respectful about
how we
disagree. We may not agree with what your analysts are saying, but we're talking about the terms, the data, and we're just trying to make points. We're trying to all get to the same spot using the points, using the data, and then try to figure out how to find a solution that we can all get to.
All right. Hey, very well said. And we're going to be right back. You're listening to all this on the Let's Talk Hookup app, YouTube, Facebook Live, but we're going to be right back on Let's Talk Hookup.
Looking for the ultimate Alaska fishing experience and the best value in Alaska? Look no further than Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. A trip to Kingfisher includes everything you need to make your experience legendary. The finest fishing fleet in Sitka with the best captains, deluxe accommodations, gourmet food, world-class fish processing, and the best part, it's all included for one amazing price. Kingfisher is Let's Talk Hookup's most popular destination. Hundreds of listeners have experienced Kingfisher Charters, and most go back again and again. You have probably heard a lot of big promises from other Alaska lodges, only to find there were lots of hidden charges. Not Kingfisher. Everything is included. 10-hour fishing days, your license, fish processing, super deluxe accommodations, amazing food, airport transfers, and fishing gear. All you bring is your layer clothing, and Kingfisher covers the rest. Kingfisher Charters, your Alaska fishing destination. 800-727-6136 or check kingfishercharters.com.
All right, let's talk about Shimano. What else would I want to talk about than Tranks, right?
Exactly. Corey's favorite reel out there, especially with all the live bait going on right now.
Yeah.
You know, we got those little baby sardines and anchovies out there. They're going all the way down to 20-pound and a number 4 hook. Corey, what are you going to use?
Well, Marco's talking C4 Twilight Trip and Bonito. I don't know, 2 to 3 pound Bonito. How can you go wrong with taking your junior and fishing a 300, 400 Tranks and just having a good time? And what says it better than Tranks?
Oh, man. And being able to even go down in the small Talikas and Trinidads. Yeah. I mean, the rods and the reels are so small and light, and the spools are so silky smooth to release the bait. You can get a bait away better than ever right now, and those fish don't stand a chance.
Wayne, nobody does it better. Check Shimano. Shimano.com.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. Spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or a fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
Hello, Let's Talk Hookup listeners, this is Tim with Friends of Rollo, and we were gearing up for our annual Rod a Week promotion. This year highlights a fantastic selection of rods that will be given away every Thursday starting November 6th. All of these rods can be seen on the Rollo website at rollokids.org. Tickets are $25 each, and if you buy 4, we will give you one free. When you buy 4, you will also be entered into a drawing to win one of Carl Newell's personal rods and Newell reel. Carl Newell was a pioneer in the fishing industry, and what better way to have a chance to own a piece of fishing history? To purchase tickets, call Tim at 951-264-7382 or email win@rollokids.org. Please leave your name and number, and I will get back to you. Thank you for making it possible for Friends of Rollo to take over 150,000 kids fishing. Your support is greatly appreciated.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup and having so much fun. And could we top it off? We've got a live report from the Tribute. Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Morning, Mike. Good, man. Wondering how the ocean's going on the Tribute.
Well, no, I just got a recording of a sonar that I play in the background.
I know, I love it.
Dude, that just gets me excited. I love that sound, and I'm sad that all the other sounders do not have that on there as a feature because, man, that thing, that puts me to sleep listening to that.
Well, it's funny because our port stateroom is right above the speaker, and you get guys as soon as it comes on in the morning, you get some of them that reserve that stateroom. They're like, I do it just so I know when we're going to stop. And I'm like, that's pretty smart. There's a fish above you.
Yep, that's being in tune. Are the fish biting or what?
Yeah, you know what they are. We made a longer run than we had normally liked to yesterday on our one-day trip, and we were able to pick up a dozen bluefin. We had pretty steady action. We're out in the same area here this morning. We've got 11 bluefin on the boat. We've got a couple hanging. A good friend of mine, a buddy that passed away a few years ago, it's the Don Gardner Memorial. It's the second year in a row. Basically the same group of guys, and it's the same area, same weather, and same fishing.
Incredible.
Yeah, we had pretty decent action this morning. A lot of 45-pound bluefin, and unfortunately everybody's fly line is 25 pounds. You know how that goes. I think we've landed 11 out of 30 or something.
That's always the question. You pull up on a stop. What are you pulling off the rack? You get anything from 20-pound to 100-pound, 200-pound fish out there. Which one are you going to grab?
Well, on that thread, I think our first fish on boat was like 15 pounds. Everybody looked at that one. Oh, here you go. And then it was just, at one point I took a video, and it was kind of depressing because I look in the video and there's like 10 fish hanging and there's one on deck, and I think we landed three of those.
Wow. Incredible.
I know Tyler running the Cortez, he was out here yesterday next to us, and they trolled up 125-pounder, and I'm like, please no, not on 25-pound. Like,
right? Well, it won't be a long fight, trust me. That won't be very long.
No, you're right, it'd be quick. But, it's biting. I mean, I think everybody out here got decent fishing so far for the morning.
That's incredible. It's nice to hear our locals fall fishing. We call it the local summer, right? Are there opportunities to join you, Mike? I mean, with the good action and good sign, fish happening, bite?
There is. We've had a couple of spots open up. We have one spot for tomorrow night, which I'm sure will be full by the time we get off here. But Tuesday night's got two openings. The next couple of trips are full, and then not until the end of the month. But yeah, there is a couple of spots. I mean, tomorrow night one, Tuesday night's a couple, and then not until later on in the month. But it's a good chance to get out here, and it's been really consistent. I mean, there's been a couple of slow times here and there, but I mean, for the most part, this and it's a funner grade of fish. You know, there's some nighttime fish up into 150 pounds, and then catching 30 to 45 pounders during the day. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, bring it on, man. That sounds like a lot of fun. Well, to book those open trips, open spots, Mike, do we call Marcos?
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to follow me up. He usually does, but Seaforth Landing, 619-224-3383, seaforthlanding.com, tributesportfishing.com. And I just posted some videos here from the morning, and it's off to a good start. We're digging it. We just need to land.
Hey, we were just laughing because this is the one time you came in after Marcos.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
It was probably because I just got done posting pictures. Otherwise, I'd have had him beat by a minute.
Oh, there it is. Well, Mike, we appreciate the always appreciate the on the water reports and giving us what's actually happening out there. And look forward to maybe you'll call next weekend, or maybe tomorrow even. We appreciate you calling in, Mike.
That's a good possibility. But yeah, it's as real time as it gets when
Yeah, no, so, we always appreciate it.
We'll try to check in tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Hey, thank you. We're going to go from there. We've got our Baja Report. It's with Chris Moyer, and it's at Smokey's Curing Company and Cantina, our Baja Report. Good morning, Chris.
Corey, Wayne, buenos dias to you guys and the rest of the guys out there. How
buenos
are you doing?
Dias.
We're doing good, man. You had me last week talking about roosterfish and maybe, God, you had me there already, man, enjoying Smokey's in the afternoon, but fishing on the beach, catching a rooster fish maybe in the morning or in the evening, man. You had me there.
I was going to just say, Corey, we got to get you down here. This has been the best rooster fish bite in many years. I've been here 25 years, and I'm telling you, it's so good, and it just continues, and it's every day, and it's close in. It's everywhere. It's everywhere from straight off Los Barriles, go to the north off Punta Pescadero, head over to Rancho Leonero, La Ribera, Punta Reina, the lighthouse. I mean, they're everywhere, and you're getting 40 and 50s literally every day. You know, you can do it all day if you want, but we got to get you down here, man, and we can go out on the Vaquera and get you a bunch of roosters.
Oh,
and
man.
And some shrimp tacos if the fish goes after. It's crazy.
Oh, you're
it's
talking crazy to my heart, man, and enjoy the cantina afterwards. Are you kidding me?
Oh yeah, for sure, bud. I mean, you got to get down here. It's a crazy bite.
Definitely.
And moving on to the tuna. The tuna bite's absolutely going off. Yellowfin tuna. The good news is they're close in. You can go 10 to 15 miles off of straight off Los Feliz and then on to the north off Pescadero. Anywhere in there, 15 to 20 miles, as well as this past week, like mile to 2 miles right off Rancho Leonero. They're everywhere. The only downside is there's limits galore. The only downside is most of them are in the 15 to 20 pound, 25 pound range. We had a handful of 40, 50 pounders. But for the most part, they're small. But, hey, you know what? We're not complaining. And then what happens is they're so close that guys can go get limits in the morning, and then you can go off. You're done. I mean, you're done early, and you can go do rooster fishing for the rest of the day. You can go target marlin. We had a pretty good week. It's dropped off a little bit, the billfish bite. There's still plenty of sailfish out there. And I think probably double digits and blues. We didn't really see a lot of striped marlin this past week. But still, you know, like I said, go get the tuna in the morning and then spend the rest of your day catching some billfish or some rooster fish. The Dorado bites, you know, still it's hit and miss. And those that are being caught are pretty, pretty small. A lot of them are being released. And then we didn't see any wahoo this past week. But that brings me to today is the tuna wahoo shootout. They combined at Von Wormer out of the Palmas de Cortez. They combined the tuna and the wahoo tournament. So that's going on today. There's close to 40 boats, right around 40 boats. And man, the way things have been going, I think if you go out and get a 60, 70 pound tuna, you'd have a really good shot at it. And if you can manage to land a wahoo, you'd have a really good shot. So we'll see, man. And Vaquero's out there fishing today, hoping they can land the trophy and maybe get out there and maybe try the kite and try to land a big one.
Oh, man, that sounds like fun for sure, Chris. And, man, you had me there at Smokey's Cantina. And, man, I definitely. So if somebody's in that area, Chris, and wants to utilize your services for fish processing or smoking
or book Vaquero,
right?
Yeah.
How do we do it all?
You can call or text me at 858-231-1358. You can email me at BajaSmokeDog2G@gmail.com, or you can get a hold of me at VaqueroSportFishing.com. We'll handle all your fish. We can take you fishing. We will quench your pie hole, whatever you need, man.
Margaritas manana, baby.
Yeah. And with the baseball playoffs, I'm sure you got it all going on, huh?
We got it all going on, and we're rolling, man. And this is about to be the really busy time of year coming in October. And we're keeping our eye on it. We got a little storm maybe next week coming, and we're just keeping our eye on it. But I think we're going to come out okay. So let's just get to October, and we'll be really clicking on all.
Great report, man. Really appreciate it. We'll talk again with you next week.
I know. It's one of my favorite ones for sure, next to Gundy Gunderson Surf Report, right? Thank you, Chris. Look forward to talking to you next week. All right. Hey, and I want to remind you that's brought to us by Norsk Lithium. Power your boat with Norsk Lithium, the ultimate choice for marine adventures. Norsk delivers unmatched starting, trolling, and electronics power. Norsk batteries are packed with cutting-edge technology. Upgrade your marine power today. Set up your system at NorskLithium.com or go see the trolling motor doctor in L.A.
Excellent. So we got Tommy P, the famous Tommy P that helps us out with Let's Talk Hookup. He texted in asking, he might have been asleep during the first part, asking about the licensing app and how do you do it for your phone. Craig, you want to get him on that one?
Sure. So you can go to your app store and download the CDFW app. Let me see what that's called. CDFW license. Enter a username and password, get yourself linked up. One thing I've noticed personally is that if you get a new phone or sometimes if you get an update, it will log you out of the system. So make sure, you know, every couple of weeks, every couple of months, depends on how often you go out, you just get in there, you log in, you make sure your profile is in your phone. Because if you get offline and you're offshore and you can't log in, you want to make sure it's already in there on the app.
I agree. I've been caught where you take it, your phone takes an update and you don't even think about it. But my thing is every time I go out, I automatically go to the licensing app and start it right then before I go out. That way I know I have it in saved in it. So the next time I sign on, it'll be there.
Yeah, and the caveat, your lobster report card, you still need to have that super long tag with you. That is not electronic, so that's got to be physically in your possession, and you've got to fill it out before you get in the water, before you start your fishing activity. Start it, immediately fill it out as soon as you're done or if you move to another spot. And then make sure, again, you report it at the end of the year. But you can report that online.
Awesome.
And that's, I mean, that sounds so simple, but Eric, I mean, how, like, I'm sure you see a lot of mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
Or,
yeah. We check for it. It's something, you know, because it's so important to the department. It's something that we will issue a citation for. It's an infraction, you know, like getting like a speeding ticket or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, probably the biggest mistake is for those that are fishing after midnight, like when they go into the next calendar day. Because you're going into the next calendar day, you need to start a new line on your report card. So when you're done with that day, which is going to be midnight, put down what you've caught so far, and then you start the next line. You're into the month, the day, the gear code, the location, and then you can continue fishing past midnight.
It's just another line, right?
Just another line.
Yeah, yep. Another line. And if you run, you know, you're lucky enough to fill in that whole report card, you can purchase another one.
Yes, you can. You're a really good fisher if you can fill out that whole report.
Right?
Card.
I mean, well,
we're all impressed when we see that.
Yeah.
Or you're trying really hard.
Yeah. Right. Yes, exactly. That's true too.
But remember the possession rule on how many lobsters you're allowed to keep, right?
Yes, it's seven in possession. You don't want to go more unless you have that multi-day fishing permit that you filled out, where you're allowed to possess more than one limit. You still can't go past more than the bag limit of seven per person.
It's so crazy because lobster is one of those things. I mean, we could all go out and enjoy the resource with calico bass and halibut and bluefin tuna, but lobster is one of those that just makes people cuckoo. Like it.
Oh yes.
It takes them to another dimension of stupidness. Like.
So going into that.
Yeah.
So Eric, why don't you tell us what are some of those things, the things that are. You go, oh, my God, I can't believe we're still having to deal with it. What are those things that people really make a mistake on the most when you guys are out there?
Probably our number one violations are going to be size limit, people not taking the time to learn how to properly measure a lobster. We have a really good video on our website that has some officers showing you how you measure it. And it's all about taking that front tine of the lobster gauge. Everyone taking lobster has to have a lobster gauge. And you take that front tine and you bury it to the rear edge of the eye sockets, and you'll see the eyes kind of bulge out, and you pull back as far as you can until it stops. And then you put the gauge down to the end of the carapace. And if it goes over, it's going to be short. Now there's people who, if they go over and there is no wiggle room at all and there's no amount of hairs or daylight on there, you know, it's technically legal, but you really got to know what you're doing. I would say if you want to play it safe, if it goes over the back of the carapace, it's going to be short. And then if it doesn't, it's legal. You're safe.
If it's even close, throw it back.
If it's close,
not worth the ticket.
It's not worth
it. Those tickets are not cheap now. I think they're like over $400.
And if you have to, even think about it, then there's an issue, right?
If you're really, really trying to, you know, measure this in every way you can to make it legal, it's probably not going to be legal, and just put it back.
Yeah, it's that simple for sure. I had a great text, if you don't mind.
Perfect.
And it's actually, I think, for Craig, and it says, good morning all, Levi from Mission Viejo. As a newly graduate of Cal State University, Monterey Bay in biology, he minored in chemistry and environmental science. Is there a job opportunity with fish and wildlife, and how would I go about getting employment? And thanks for all you do, he says.
Great question. Well, first of all, congratulations on your graduations. Should be proud of that accomplishment. We're always looking for new talent at the department, whether it's in our marine region or any of our other terrestrial regions. Website, again, is the best place to go. If you go to our homepage and click on employment, it walks you through the process. Getting a job with the state is Can be tricky at times, so there you have to be on the list for the different classifications. So I encourage folks to get online, look at the different options, the different classifications, whether it's an environmental scientist, a program analyst, different types of classifications based on your interests and your skill sets. And then you can get on a list and be notified when job opportunities are available in your area, and not necessarily just with the department. So, you know, there's not a ton of jobs available, but there's also other agencies that do similar work, Coastal Commission, Regional Water Board, other state agencies that do biological work in the ocean.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good one for sure, and congratulations to Levi.
Absolutely. Sure. So, Craig, here's something. We, you know, just like the sand bass, the other big topic that we've been talking about for the last couple of years now, unfortunately, the MPA petition process. And why don't you give us a quick update on where we're at and where we're going?
Oh, where to begin on this one?
Right. I know. It is so difficult.
And I thought you were
going to
ask me about how
this.
Yeah, so... Statewide MPA network, this was set up, you know, 15-odd years ago as part of the Marine Life Protection Act, a state law to do so. About 3 years ago, we did our decadal management review. As part of that decadal management review, what the department found was basically things are working about the way we would expect it, a few hiccups here or there, but overall the network is performing as we would expect it to do at this point into the establishment of the network. The commission, Fish and Game Commission, did set up a petition process for individuals that were interested in seeing changes to the network to petition the commission for changes. We received 20 different petitions for something like 75, 80 different changes to the network. We've gone through the low-hanging fruit ones, what we call the tier one. We're working on the more complicated ones now. I expect we will be bringing those back to the commission early next year, probably around the March MRC timeline. At the commission's October or December meeting, they will likely be talking about a timeline of how they will receive the department's recommendations on those commissions. Will they route those through the Marine Resources Committee, which is just a subset of the full commission, or will they bring those back through the full commission? But the... You know, long story short, likely nothing through the end of the year as we're working through the evaluation process, and then we'll be bringing back the department's recommendation for commission and public consideration early part of next year.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
And it's complicated. I mean, and it'll be depending on how much of a fight we find out on the floor between all the different groups on – because nobody – trust me, whenever we go through this process, you're never going to make 100% of the people happy. Never fails. It's just how much can we find the common ground to get to a solution that people can agree on. So,
which is as complicated as anything else in this world, right?
Yeah.
World politics, but here we are talking state resource, right?
Absolutely.
And it's maybe a little more difficult.
So you have a text?
Yeah. No, I actually don't. I went through all the good ones, I thought. But, yeah, so, do you have a good one there?
So Mark White from Canton, Ohio, of all places, he goes... by chance, is there any way that we're going to get the Cherry Bank reopened for bottom fishing? That's a good one. I don't know that one.
You know, I'd have to look at a chart to see if the...
Is that one of the groundfish exclusion?
Yeah, areas? I think it's got coral there.
But that would only be the high spot on itself for ground fishing. We can fish over the top of those... 8 closed areas, but we can fish the slope. We just can't fish the top, we close.
I think it's a matter of looking at the charts. And
that was one that came in. I didn't have the answer to that one.
Yeah, there's those, instead of the Calcutta conservation areas, there's those
the
ground
exclusion
fish
zones.
Exclusion zones. We've got nice maps on them on our website. They're also codified, and you can't possess any rockfish while you're fishing in there. You can transit. As long as your gear is stowed, if we have rockfish in possession, you can transit. You can go in there and fish pelagics as long as you don't have groundfish on board. But if you have rockfish or groundfish in possession, you can't stop and fish in there.
Interesting.
So people, to refresh everybody's mind, What happened was we had this Calcod conservation area. It was over 4,000 square miles closed to us for over 20 years. But once we had the Calcod deemed rebuilt, we worked together with the environmental community, the commercial, the rec fishermen, CDFW, NOAA. We worked with everybody to figure out how we can open up those areas. And the agreement was that we had, I think, 8 groundfish exclusion areas, but we opened all the rest of that area to fishing. So this was the agreement and the solution. It was the one time that I can remember that we did not have any fight on the floor because everything had been worked out prior to getting there. So when we went through regulation changes and approval, they couldn't say no because there was no argument why they shouldn't keep it closed. So that was a very big thing for us.
Yeah, the Cherry Bank is one of those groundfish exclusives.
So that makes sense. So what's going to happen is, unfortunately, right now, because of the coral on the Cherry Bank, that's why it's closed for ground fishing. No bottom contact is the reason for that.
Well, interesting. Coral, I mean, Wayne, what? Explain to me. Like tropical coral?
Well, there are certain areas that when they did the surveying of those high spots, that there were certain coral, and they want to protect those coral for the ecosystem value.
Interesting, for sure.
Yeah, and these are deep water corals, not the corals that you think about when you're thinking about a tropical coral reef.
Oh, okay. Yeah, thank you, Craig, for sure. Yeah, thanks for clarifying that. Hey, we're going to be right back on Let's Talk Hookup. Man, this was sure fun having Craig Schumann and Eric Cord and Ken Frankie. We're going to be right back. We're going to find out who's won this lucky trip on the Liberty when we return on the Let's Talk Hookup app, YouTube, and Facebook Live.
I believe there is no doubt that the finest sport fishing in the world starts right here in San Diego. This is Captain Frank Lopresti. Our fleet of long-range boats and crew are unmatched, and the Royal Polaris and Shogun are right at the top of the list. Captain Jonathan Yamati and his crew aboard the Royal Polaris are considered to be the finest long-range vessel in the world. From summer bluefin, yellowtail, and wahoo to giant yellowfin tuna, our record is unmatched. The Shogun, under the direction of Captain Rene Montegudo, has become one of the most popular long-range boats in the fleet. This big, wide, solid riding vessel has gained a reputation for catching fish and treating their customers to an epic vacation on the water. I am so proud of Jonathan, Rene, and the crews on both the Royal Polaris and Shogun, as they have helped me keep the reputation of the premier vessels in the long-range fleet. Come see for yourself. Book a trip on the Royal Polaris or Shogun today. Check RoyalPolarisSportFishing.com. or ShogunSportFishing.com or call Monica or Jen in the office at 619-226-8030.
The top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaboard Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaboard Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Dos, Pride, Tribute Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaport, Sea-Watch, and San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaport Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open parties, schedule check seaportlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Take a closer look at the Ford F-150. You'll see hard work, a great adventure, and so much more. Inside and out, it's designed for the family, the road trip, and the most demanding job. The 2025 Ford F-150, whether it's gas, hybrid, or the all-electric Lightning, find the truck that will meet your needs. From California's best-selling truck brand, the 2025 Super Duty, the rugged Ford Ranger, and the versatile Ford Maverick, it's time to see Ford in a new light. Visit your San Diego County Ford dealer today to see the great selection across the full truck lineup. Inside information is everything when it comes to catching fish in Southern California. You need a code group to connect with what's happening on the water. FishDope.com is your code group. Inside information available at your fingertips 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane, along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. They become your code group. You get daily catch reports from point conception to Sankateen, 365 days a year. FishDope.com has online planning tools, temperature and chlorophyll charts, hot bite icons, and more. Take it from me, if you don't have FishDope.com, you're not part of the in-the-know crowd. Membership is affordable and good for an entire year. Plus, use the special code and save $30 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel.
The lighter the bite and the cleaner the water means one thing. We need a thinner leader, more natural presentations. That's where Seaguar Gold Label leader material shines. It's Seaguar's thinnest leader material yet. That means it's even less visible underwater and creates more natural presentations for better catch rates on leader-shy fish. With exceptional knot and tensile strength, this advanced leader material is now available from 2-pound tests for fishing trout in the Sierra to 80-pound tests for big yellowfin in Guadalupe. Get Seaguar Gold Label at your favorite tackle dealer or learn more at Seaguar.com.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. We're going to have Eric Cord flip the coin on the table here. Gives, yep, there you go.
There we go.
Whether it's a call or texter, and today it's a texter. Goes to Mike and Santee, a trip on the Liberty. And Eric, you had some good information for new laws coming up.
I do. There's one more important one that we wanted to cover. It's for your hoop net lines, the lines connecting your net to the buoy. That's going to be effective in January 1st. There are color marking prohibitions, and before everyone, you know, panics, the reason that we're having these color marking prohibitions is that the Dungeness crab fishery, because they don't want to get in sort of charged for a whale entanglement to the fishery, to where that could cause a delay in the start of the season or early closure, they're going to be assigned a color for their line. So it's going to be purple and black. Oregon crab fishery is going to be assigned, I think it's yellow and black. And then yellow and black for Oregon and red and black for Washington. So those colors of lines are going to be designated for those fisheries. So we don't want our hoop net fishers to have those same colored lines in case there's a whale entanglement with their hoop net. It wouldn't charge that commercial fishery with the whale entanglement, which is bad for them.
Right.
So just make sure come January 1st, you don't want to have purple and black lines, and it's the three strand polypropylene where there's two strands of purple and one strand of black. The safest bet for now and into the future is have those solid colors, solid orange, solid yellow, all black. As long as you don't have these two color of lines, you'll be safe. And you want to avoid a ticket.
Maybe we can get you to call back in before the new year. Could you do that?
Sure.
Could we get you together with Pete and figure that out? Just explain that whole thing again.
Sure. No problem.
Okay. That'd be awesome.
Wow. What a great show. 2 hours is never enough. We got so much covered, and man, we have so many topics we didn't get to cover. Hopefully we can get you, Craig, back on, and Eric, thank you guys so much for being on the show. President of SAC, Ken Frankie, Corey, I really appreciate it. All you guys, we tried to share as much information as we could and squeeze it in these 2 hours. You know, gotta love a live show. Thank you to all the callers, the texters. Thanks to Kyle on the fan, Adam at Let's Talk Hookup app, you know, and we will be back here tomorrow with Brian Wynn, 7 to 9 a.m., 97.3 The Fan, Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook, and YouTube live. Great show, guys. Thank you.